You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On College Football. He is Kevin McGuire. Locked On Nittany Lions. I'm Matt Moscona, Locked On LSU. Glad to have you hanging out after a one-week hiatus. We're back. Kev, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It was a long day of college football headlines. I can't wait to dig into them with you. Hopefully you're doing well as well.
Yeah, man. And Wednesday was a very busy day in and around college football. We'll get to our weekend preview later in the show. We will get to also the big news here locally that the team I cover every day was involved with the LSU Florida news. But let's start with, I guess, if it involves Nick Saban in Alabama and it's headline news, it's probably got a lead. So we found out on Wednesday evening that Nick Saban and Alabama athletic director Greg Byrne tested positive for COVID-19. Saban seems to think that he contracted COVID while traveling to Ole Miss this past weekend, says he's asymptomatic, he's isolating at home, he's informing his team via Zoom, trying to coach remotely. But for now, Saban, who's 68 years old, on the sideline, not literally, but figuratively, while Steve Sarkisian takes over as the interim in Saban's place right now. So it's Saban. Aside from that, how big of a deal is this?
I think it's a pretty big deal, probably more so because of the game that's coming up this weekend. I think it's impossible to not talk about the fact that Nick Saban's not going to be coaching the biggest game of the college football season overall to date against the Georgia Bulldogs, one of the games that I was circling on my calendar before the season ever started. But it is good news that I guess he's not showing any symptoms, at least as of now. Hopefully that remains the case. Hopefully he goes through the isolation process and he's back doing what he loves as quickly as possible. And same for Greg Byrne as well. This is not the first time we've seen a head coach come down with the virus and have to miss action. Obviously Mike Norvell a couple of weeks back at Florida State, Kevin Sumlin, Sumlin at Arizona hasn't coached the game yet. Pac-12 hasn't started yet, but he also has tested positive. So he went through the process. So
Les Miles this week was positive as well, but they didn't have a game this past week.
Right. This was one of those things when we went into the season, whenever they were starting up, we kind of expected that there were going to be some issues along the way with COVID-19. Players were going to get it. Coaches were going to get it. It's just a matter of how it's handled from there on out, I suppose. Again, Nick Saban has actually been one of those guys that's been out there. He's been wearing a mask. He's been preaching the reason for being socially distant and all that stuff. And he still tested positive. So it's just a reminder that, even though you're taking as many precautions as you think you can take, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you won't contract the virus. But again, hopefully everything goes well in the isolation process and he's back to doing what he wants to do as quickly as possible.
So the CDC guidelines specify that a person that tests positive must isolate for 10 days and then contact tracing requires a 14-day quarantine. So Saban, theoretically, according to CDC guidelines, would have to isolate for 10 days from, I guess, the time he was symptomatic or from the time the positive test came until he could produce a negative test. I don't know what that means for this weekend. Like, Kevin, I haven't seen anything that definitively rules him out for this weekend. So, I mean, theoretically, if he were able to produce negative tests before Saturday, in theory, he could be out there. I guess that's probably why we haven't seen that definitively announced yet. But
that's true. I guess I should clarify. I'm just assuming that that meant that he's not going to be coaching. But you're right. As of the time we're recording this, there's been no definitive word that he will not be on the sidelines this weekend. So there's still time to get one of those negative tests out there.
Now, and I will say that I don't know what the Vegas point spread will do if Nick isn't there. But I can tell you from covering the 2012 New Orleans Saints, who, if you remember, that was the Bounty Gate scandal, and they were without Sean Payton that whole season. Not to go NFL on a college podcast, but I'm thinking of a relevant time where you had a really elite head coach not with his team, and those New Orleans Saints had all offseason to prepare for that. And the Saints thought they had like the best possible procedures in place with Joe Vitt and Aaron Cromer, and like they had the whole offseason to prepare for that, and that season was a disaster. I mean, they went 7-9, but they were 0-3 out the chute. The defense was literally the worst in the history of the league. Like, we put so much emphasis in football on the head coach. We do. Like, it's a sport where, unlike maybe in Major League Baseball or in the NBA, like when you're controlling literally every play of action like that, it matters. Having your head coach matters. So anyone that would try to minimize Nick not being there for Saturday, I can't get down with that, because, like, I've seen what that's like firsthand, man. When you're leader and you're cutting off the head of the snake and he's not there, it matters and there's an effect. And, I mean, that's like a four-point line in that ball game anyway. And I'm not so sure I wouldn't tip the scale and favor Georgia if Nick's not going to be there, because it just – it matters, man. Who the guy is calling the shots, you know, there in that ball game on Saturdays does matter.
Absolutely, especially a program that is run the way that Nick Saban has been running it for as long as he has. I mean, he's like a CEO type there, and everything has been going through him for so long. I guess you hope that you have established such a system of order within that program that maybe you can get by one week. But again, this is not just a game against the Citadel.
Yeah.
This is the Georgia Bulldogs coming in, and this is going to be a big challenge. This Georgia defense is to be reckoned with. Now, Alabama's got a pretty good offense too. So, again, I don't know X's and O's. I don't know how much actually changes with Alabama, but it does certainly have an impact when you don't have your head coach there for a game of this magnitude. So, again, we'll just have to wait and see if there's any more official word by the time this podcast is out or in the coming days leading up to the game. But it's certainly an eye-opener for sure.
So we will preview Bama-Georgia among the rest of the games this weekend coming up on the podcast. But we also talk about one game that won't happen this weekend. That's LSU-Florida. That's coming up. It's Locked On College Football, brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. That's Rock, A-U-T-O. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. It doesn't matter what part you're looking for, what make, model, year, they've got it at rockauto.com, even if it's something as simple as changing your motor oil.
Yeah, and I just recently bought wipers on rockauto.com, and I saved myself a bundle. I typically will go to a chain store, a big block store, to get wipers, because I feel like they probably give me a better price. Well, no longer anymore. I'm going to Rock Auto every time. I'm going to save myself a bunch of money by going and buying the parts that I need at the best possible prices. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a professional or a do-it-yourself or just somebody who knows nothing about cars like me. And Rock Auto is going to help you make it incredibly easy to buy what you need. Their family business. They've been doing it a long time. So they've dealt with customers like me before, and they're ready to help you out too. Make sure you go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car, truck, and then don't forget to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
We continue Locked On College Football, and glad to have you hanging out with us here on this Thursday. It was certainly a newsy day on Wednesday, the Nick Saban COVID info or news, LSU in Florida being postponed, which we'll get to. But we also found out that the Oversight Committee's request to the NCAA that minimum bowl requirements be waived, Brett McMurphy at Stadium Sports has confirmed that the NCAA has approved that request, which means every single FBS team is bowl eligible. So congrats to all of you crappy football teams, fan bases of crappy football. Kansas, Les Miles has Kansas bowl eligible. I don't know how you feel about it, Kip, but like some people say there's too many bowl games. I will never ever say that. As a college football junkie, if there's college football on TV, I'm going to watch. And when we get into December in normal years, and it's a Tuesday night, and my wife is like absolutely fixated on the Hallmark movie Christmas, Hallmark Channel Christmas movies. If you give me Toledo against Kent State, brother, I am in. I don't care if it's a couple of 500 teams, just give me college football. So I'm pumped for this. 39 college football bowl games on the slate, and everybody is bowl eligible.
I just want to congratulate Rutgers on their bowl eligible season without playing a single down this year. That's awesome. Obviously, the Big Ten's coming back next week. I can't wait to talk about that with you next week. But yeah, I think the fact that this was a decision that I think was universally praised. It tells you something that the NCAA actually did something right. And I feel like there are so many times and so many reasons that we can criticize the NCAAs for their decision-making process. This is not one of them for me. I was fully expecting that this would eventually be the case. I just didn't know when it was going to become official, because this is not a normal year, right? So we can just wipe everything with a clean slate, let everybody do whatever they want to do this year, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm all for the waiving of the bowl eligibility for this season. I just think it's the most logical move, and the NCAA actually made it. So how amazing is that?
I'm 100% in lockstep. Let's see more bowl games. If nobody uses bowl games anymore as the litmus test for success, because everybody gets in, we've all corrected our impression of what they are. I just want more games on TV. Now, the team I cover every day, LSU, considering the way they've started in a typical year, maybe they might struggle to get to bowl eligibility, but that won't be the case, obviously. They were supposed to play Florida on Saturday, but we found out that Florida has had 18 positive COVID tests now among players and coaches. They did not disclose what position groups, but the SEC did have protocols in place or standards or minimums in place where you had to have at least 53 scholarship players, you had to have at least 7 scholarship offensive linemen, 1 center. So you're not like throwing out a walk-on quarterback, under center. But I guess, Kevin, when I think about this, it's disappointing. It's also was to be expected. It's why when the SEC built their schedule, they built in that December the 12th date for the seemingly inevitability of positive tests and a fluctuating schedule. And so this kind of worked the way that we kind of anticipated. And realistically, on the field, this is a major break for LSU missing Florida right now.
It really is. It's almost like a blessing in disguise if you're LSU, because there are some issues that LSU needs some extra time to fix. We understand that. But I think you're right. It goes back to the idea of when the SEC put their schedule together and they decided they were going to start when they did, they had the built-in flexibility. And that was one of the big selling points for that schedule. And that's why it's very interesting to me that the Big Ten seemingly had that schedule kind of laid out for them, and then they scrapped it, and now they're going with 8 games in 8 weeks. Again, we'll talk Big Ten next week, but I do think it's very interesting to see, every conference that has played football so far this year has had to deal with some kind of schedule adjustments. Big 12, ACC, the AAC, Conference USA, everybody has dealt with something at this point in time, including now the SEC, with not just one game, but 2 games being rescheduled.
Did you really want to talk about Missouri and Vanderbilt?
No, I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm good there too.
That's what I'm saying. The SEC prepared for this scenario, and that's why you got to praise the way that they went about putting together a schedule. Hopefully, it's not going to become a lingering issue that continues to dwindle on and make this a little bit more complicated, because as the season goes on, you lose some of that flexibility along the way. But hopefully, whatever's going on right now is taken care of, and they have the outlet to make up for it later on.
I did have a conversation today with Robert Munson, who's LSU's senior associate AD, and he did stress that LSU Florida December 12th is a tentative date, and it should, which you just alluded to, should the possibility arise if other games need to be moved or schedule shuffled, that could change. But for now, that's where it is, and that would be the cleanest solution if it happens. And one more quick thought, just to sort of punctuate what you and I were kind of joking about it being a good time for LSU. Of course, it allows another week for LSU to try to get their defense back to some semblance of respectability. It allows them to get healthy. Ed Ogeron said on Wednesday morning, Miles Brennan was going to be doubtful for this game this week. Reports here that he suffered some type of lower abdominal hip area type injury, and he was going to miss this game. So LSU would have been going on the road to Florida with a suspect defense against a really good offense and starting a true freshman on the road in the swamp, and it would have been back-to-back-to-back road SEC games for LSU, which hasn't happened in 50 years. So the opportunity to get healthy, to avoid Florida right now, to get your defense in order. The next time you're playing, you're at home against South Carolina, which will be a winnable game. You and I alluded to it. Like, this is a blessing in disguise. It is a major break in the schedule for LSU at a time when they very, very much needed it. So, no LSU game this weekend. When we come back, let's preview the biggest games in college football. We got to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. The best tasting protein bar ever. Kevin, I don't know about you, but my wife and I, we've been hooked on them. I love the orange flavor. She loves the raspberry. We order boxes, and it's always in our pantry. I got one on my desk up on the fourth floor in the office right here. It's just whenever I need a late morning or early afternoon snack, if I need that protein after a workout, if I need a meal replacement, a breakfast bar, Built Bar is perfect. It's a healthy protein bar that actually tastes great.
Yeah, you can keep them on the shelf. You can put a few in the fridge, grab one on the way into work.
Ooh, that's what I've been doing. That's a good option. I haven't tried that yet.
I forget which Locked On host led me to check that one out, but I will give praise to whoever that was if you want to claim for it and claim responsibility. But it is a pretty nice little way to go about it. You just throw it in your lunch bag, your backpack, whatever the case may be. I'm with you, though. I really like that orange flavor. I've been telling people the orange is probably one of the best of the original flavors, but don't forget they've got six brand new flavors, including caramel brownie. A perfect flavor for the fall would be the apple almond crisp, and you got to check them out. Like you said, they are the protein bars taste like a chocolate bar. I don't go a day without them at this point.
BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com, spelled just like it sounds. BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON and save 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Wrap it up, a Thursday edition of the Locked On College Football podcast. Matt, Kevin, we're brought to you by Rock Auto. As we always do, we get you primed for the weekend of college football ahead. You know, last weekend, there were so many tantalizing matchups. You had four ranked-on-ranked matchups. You maybe don't have that on the slate, but some really interesting opportunities for programs around college football. We'd be negligent if we didn't mention that the number one team in the country, Clemson, is going to play at 12 noon Eastern on the road against Georgia Tech. It's a massive point spread. Do you want worry about Clemson with any type of letdown after the big win over Miami?
I really don't, because I think Clemson has just risen to a certain level where that's not going to be a real main issue for them at any point. They're going to go out. They're going to go take care of their business. And you and I, we've talked some glowingly things about Georgia Tech this season, coming off another nice win last week. And, I think that there's some momentum there for Georgia Tech. Maybe they can hang with Clemson for a good quarter and a half, but eventually Clemson's going to hit that gear and they're just going to keep rolling. And there's a big point spread on this game for a reason. I think Clemson's a pretty safe bet this weekend.
Also in the noon hour, Auburn is on the road in Columbia against South Carolina. This is only a 3-point line, which may surprise some people, but South Carolina has been sneaky consistent so far, and that Auburn offense at times has struggled to get going. What do you think? Can South Carolina pull the upset at home?
I think that they can. I'm not ready to dive all the way in just yet, but Auburn has burned me the last couple of weeks, so I do feel some hesitation towards going into this game with any confidence if I'm Auburn, because like you said, this offense is not quite up to par with where I thought it should be right now, and they almost gave a game they should have lost last week,
against Arkansas.
We're not going to dive into that too much.
They got an absolute gift. They're 2-1. There was a fumble on Bo Nix. They should be 1-2. Arkansas should have won that game. Arkansas got screwed royally. I think South Carolina is going to win that game. In Knoxville, also in the 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern hour, Kentucky on the road at Tennessee. Kentucky gets its first win of the season. Tennessee, one of those bounce-back opportunities you were talking about after the loss last week against Georgia.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tennessee's going to get that bounce back win, but they're going to have to earn it this weekend. I think Kentucky goes in there, gives them some trouble. I think Kentucky's a little bit of a wild card team to me, right? So I don't have high expectations for them this year, but I do think this is an opportunity for Tennessee to get back to some of the things they were doing. They ran into a wall last week against Georgia. That's fine. That's going to happen to teams that are continuing to grow, as I believe Tennessee is. And I think if they are going to continue to grow, they're going to come back with some confidence this weekend and take care of business against Kentucky at home.
I agree. I like Tennessee in that matchup at home. Louisville is at Notre Dame in South Bend. Notre Dame's ranked fourth in the country. Like, where did this happen? Notre Dame is ranked fourth in the country. But number four Notre Dame, a big favorite over Louisville, which really just doesn't seem like a very good football team right now.
Well, first of all, this is a weird year for rankings, because let me ask you, Matt, are you taking a 3-0 Notre Dame at number four, or are you taking an 0-0 number six Ohio State if they go head-to-head?
It would obviously be Ohio State. And there's in the second that the Big Ten kicks off, there is flux in these ratings, massive flux in the ratings.
That's the whole point I'm getting at. I mean, we can look at the rankings, and yes, Notre Dame, they're a good team. Are they a number four team in the country? I don't see it. You know, they blew out Florida State. You know, everybody's supposed to blow out Florida State this year, right? So that's not really impressive to me. And they're probably going to get another blowout win this weekend against Louisville because Louisville's got no defense. I really thought Louisville was going to take some strides forward this year. I'm not seeing it on that side of the ball. I think Louisville can do some things offensively, but they're not going to do enough to slow down Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame rolls them here.
We'll find out all we need to know about the Irish November the 7th when they take on Clemson, but I'm with you. Notre Dame rolls this weekend, but that is not a team athletically that can roll with Clemson or the other big boys. Texas A&M, however, biggest win for Jimbo Fisher by far, gets a top five win over the Gators this past weekend. Now they got to travel to the Pirate in Mississippi State.
Well, you know, if Mississippi State scores more than 2 points, I give them a little bit of a chance this weekend. I don't know what to make of Mississippi
State.
How
bad, though, does this make the LSU loss in week one look? The fact that in subsequent weeks, Mississippi State can't score, and KJ Costello, which set the SEC single-game passing record against LSU, got benched 2 weeks later.
Yeah, it's amazing to me because I'm looking at KJ Costello's stats. He just got 1,100 yards, six touchdowns. About half of that came against LSU in the one game. So I think it's the Mike Leach experience, right? I mean, he's going to get a big win. It's going to get a lot of people talking, and then all of a sudden things like this are going to happen. Can Texas A&M carry over the momentum from their big win now going on the road? I don't know if this is a good situation to be on the road this week or not, but I do like the opponent. I think it matches up well for Texas A&M. I think they can go into Stark Vegas and come out of there rolling high.
North Carolina ranked fifth in the country. The job Mac Brown's done. They staved off a furious rally from Virginia Tech. Now they've got to go on the road to Florida State. Mac Brown's first go-round in Chapel Hill, this would have been an awesome matchup. Right now, not so much. Tar Heels 13-point favorite in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I like North Carolina a lot this weekend. I just said a couple minutes ago, everybody's supposed to blow out Florida State this year. I think this is going to be one of those games. So I think the Mac Brown has been doing a tremendous job with the Tar Heels. This is a team to really keep a close eye on. So if you're not watching them already this year, tune in. Watch the Sam Howell experience. I think he's going to have a pretty big game against the Florida State Seminoles.
That's 7:30 Eastern on ABC. By the way, Florida State's only win is against Jacksonville State, and that was close. It's fair to look at their schedule and go, where's your other win? It's going to be a rough year in Tallahassee. All right, the big one, the nightcap on CBS, the night game, Georgia, number three in the country, at number two, Alabama, quite likely without Nick Saban. A night game in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Do the Dogs go on the road and get it done?
I'm starting to lean a little bit more and more that way. If Nick Saban's not going to be there, I like their chances a little bit more, for whatever X factor that is. But I do think that Georgia, as good as this defense is, these Alabama receivers are going to make a play at some point. They're going to catch Georgia in a crack and expose it, and that's going to hurt them. So I think this is a good competitive contest for about 55 minutes, and then around 5 minutes to go, Alabama's going to get the big passing play from Mac Jones to Jalen Waddle, and nobody's going to catch him, and that's going to be your difference right there.
I don't want to be Switzerland here and be neutral, but I want to know if Nick's going to be there. Because if Nick Saban isn't there, I'm picking Georgia. Because Georgia's the one team in the SEC that actually has enough defense to keep that competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you I think Stetson Bennett is a world beater. The Georgia offensive line has played better than I expected. Stetson Bennett has played better than I expected that they would. But I think defensively, Georgia's the one team that can go toe-to-toe with Bama and limit that offense. And if Nick's not there, I think that is enough of a variable where you feel like the head of the snake isn't there. And I do think that absolutely matters, and I would pick Georgia to win that game if there's no Nick Saban. It's just a four-point line. Nick's teams do great in these spots. But if Nick's not there, it's not Nick's team. And I don't think Steve Sarkisian is the guy that's going to do it. Maybe it's because I have these flashbacks of the blowout national championship game against Clemson when Lane Kiffin had already taken the job at FAU and Sark was the OC. And, brother, I'm going to tell you, that was nasty. Worst loss to Saban's career. I don't have confidence in Steve Sarkisian to go lead this talented Alabama team to a win over a team like Georgia. So if Saban's gone, there's my caveat. If Saban is not there, I'll take Georgia. If Saban's there, give me Bama.
I think that's fair. And you know what? If Georgia wins this game, who knew at the beginning of the year that we'd be talking about Stetson Bennett as the quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't think anybody really had that on the radar going into this year, right? So, I mean, that's just how crazy 2020 has been overall.
Not a soul. We were all talking about Jamie Newman. I mean, what a different reality that seems. Jamie Newman, the Wake Forest transfer, he opts out. Then we're all thinking JT Daniels, the USC transfer, who gains immediate eligibility. And this former walk-on, boom, here you go, Stetson Bennett, who's established himself. Big opportunity for that kid this weekend in Tuscaloosa. It is the Locked On College Football Podcast. That's going to do it for us. He's Kevin. I'm Matt. We're brought to you by Rock Auto. Please subscribe to the podcast if you have not done so yet. We appreciate you for hanging out with us. Enjoy the college football weekend. Kev, we'll talk next week.
Can't wait. Big Ten coming back next week. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.